taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. Part of that reading and studying is not just the Constitution. I also spend a lot of time with the Declaration of Independence, which is where I get this quote. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evince a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Now, in this case, the colonists were talking about the king, King George. But it is their right and duty to throw off a government that has abused them, usurped their power, and shows evidence of attempting to subject them to despotism. Paul, those are serious words. Well, as I look through the news, what I find more and more often is governments trying to usurp power, governments at all levels trying to abusing the rights of the people, of subjecting them to the despotism of what they think is best. So I want to take a look at some of those today, just to give you an example of what I'm talking about. For example, now this one was very interesting. A New York City judge has handed down an order in an ongoing custody battle blocking the visits between a Long Island man and his 3-year-old daughter because he is not vaccinated. Now, I don't have access to the original order, so I don't know the full justification. I'm dealing only with the reporting of the, in this case, post-millennial. And according to the post-millennial, the judge, a judge, Matthew Cooper, said in-person parental access by defendant is not in the child's best interest, and there are exceptional circumstances that support its suspension. Well, I'm curious, what is the danger to the child? They say the best interests of the child. What is the danger to the child of being around a parent who is not vaccinated? Now, understand, none of the tests and trials of the vaccine show it prevents the transmission of COVID. In fact, studies show that it is just as easy to spread COVID if you've been vaccinated as if someone who is not. And it's based not, you know, these are reports where they're checking the actual viral load in the nasal passages. When you cough, sneeze, do you expel as much virus when you're vaccinated as when you're unvaccinated? And the answer appears to be yes. So it's not a concern about infecting the child. Now, the other part is, well, children have an extremely low, you're talking about a small child. Now, understand, from the CDC's own website, their COVID data website, children age 0 to 4, know what their percentage of deaths from children age 0 to 4 is? It's zero. So, understand, of the almost 600,000, of 589,172 deaths from COVID, only 227 involve children under the age of 4, or I should say under the age of 5. For those of you who are good at math, you realize that's about 0.4%. So if this is a healthy child, in other words, a child without some other medical condition, there is no medical reason to do this. Now, why, in the comments of the judge, why does he say this is so bad for the child? Well, according to his comments, he says, the dangers of voluntarily remaining unvaccinated during access with a child while the COVID-19 virus remains a threat to the child's health and safety cannot be underestimated. Actually, they're being overestimated by you, each and every, and not only by the media, every day. I just pointed out the chance of the child dying is extremely small, less than a tenth of a percent. In fact, we're talking 0.04%. Judge went on, unfortunately, to my mind, incomprehensibly, a sizable minority seizing upon misinformation, conspiracy theories, and muddled notions of individual liberty have refused all entreaties to be vaccinated. And that is the reason this judge has done this. That appears to be. Now, I can't read the man's mind. But here, what do we have? The judge is preventing parental access, not because of a medical condition, but because he's upset that people have not been vaccinated. Ladies and gentlemen of New York, citizens of New York, is this what you hired this judge for? Can your rights be taken away simply because you will not bow down to a government edict that makes no medical sense? Incomprehensibly, he says. I'm sorry, when I see 16,000 people die from, you know, shortly after taking the vaccine, that is not an incomprehensible reason. When I then find out that when they rank deaths as related to the vaccine, they exclude people who have not received the full vaccination for at least 14 days. In other words, if you're taking the two-shot vaccine, you have to get both shots, wait 14 days, then show symptoms that can be considered a COVID death while vaccinated. This is crazy. He says, a sizable seizing on misinformation, conspiracy theories, and muddled notions of individual liberty. Well, first of all, the misinformation seems to be coming much more from, government bureaucrats. Because I just quoted the CDC's own numbers. I went to the CDC website. I looked them up for myself, and I find the risk to the child are extremely minimal. Extremely minimal, unless the child has a serious medical condition. So this is not a threat to the child's health and safety. You are overestimating the threat to the child's health and safety. He talks about conspiracy theories. Well, let's see. When the CDC admits that 94% of the deaths they attribute to COVID are people who died with COVID, not necessarily of COVID, who's pushing the conspiracy theory? When you're telling me that a child is in serious health of COVID, when I show that they have an extremely low chance of hospitalizations and deaths, who's pushing the conspiracy theory? Judge, I'm sorry, I can't call you Your Honor because there's no honor in what I see here. When he refers to muddled notions of individual liberty, you swore an oath to support the Constitution of the State of New York and the United States, both of which protect the rights of the people above the state, period, end of story. This is a judge who's decided they will be king. They will decide under what circumstances you'll be allowed to see your children. He will decide whether or not COVID is a danger to the child. Not a doctor, not a medical professional, an oligarch in a black robe. You talk about a long train of abuses. That's only one. Now, I've already interviewed a Dr. Ming Wang, who, again, grew up during the Cultural Revolution, who is slated to go to a labor camp, who escaped to America, and is warning us of what's been going on there. Well, there's another one. There is a lady, a Z Van Fleet, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, but she said she grew up, she spent her school years during the Chinese Cultural Revolution. And she talked about how they used the communist tactics of dividing people and canceling the Chinese tradition and culture and destroyed their heritage. And she says, all this is happening here in America today. Now, she's specifically talking about the letter from the National School Boards Association complaining to the Department of Justice and Attorney General Merrick Garland issuing his memo to use federal enforcement tools against a unproven, not even probable cause of domestic terrorism in school boards. Now, Van Fleet reminds people, she says, they called them racist for a long time, but that did not work, in referring to the parents who spoke out about critical race theory. So they've upgraded them to domestic terrorists. I do have a question. What's the next step? Is the Tiananmen Square crackdown the next? Or parents who one day risk their lives just to speak out for their children? That's why she's speaking out. She has seen the long train of abuses in her native land of China, and she's warning us we're doing exactly the same thing. This is another long train of abuses of the federal government usurping state power, meddling where it does not belong, meddling where it's not legally allowed, to impose a worldview on people that they don't want. Then, of course, we have the latest in the infamous OSHA Biden pseudo sort of executive order. See, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration has submitted to the Office of Management and Budget a review of proposed rules to require companies with more than 100 employees require that their employees be vaccinated or face a $14,000 fine per violation. Now, what are the abuses? Well, first of all, the Occupational Health and Safety and Health Administration is not a legal agency. There's nothing in the Constitution that grants the United States the authority to oversee occupational safety and health. That's part of the Department of Labor. But there's nothing in the Constitution that authorizes a Department of Labor that gives the United States the authority to regulate labor. So we've got abuse upon abuse upon abuse. And now we have OSHA promulgating rules that will have the force of law. In other words, you will pay it. They want you to pay a fine if you don't comply with an illegal order to deprive these businesses of the property they have in controlling their business, to deprive their employees of the right to live at liberty and to be secure in their own bodies, all without any due process, in direct violation of the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. OSHA, the people at OSHA that promulgate this, are committing federal crimes. Title 18 of the United States Code, it is a crime punishable by a fine up to 1 year in jail for under color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom willfully subject any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. Period. They are depriving people of their right protected by the Fifth Amendment to not be deprived of liberty without due process of law, to not be deprived of their property, including control of their body, without due process of law. It is incumbent upon the government to prove this is necessary. Not the other way around. The government doesn't get to do this, and then we have to prove they're wrong. No, no, no. The Constitution says they have to prove first that this is absolutely necessary. And they can't. They cannot, because the evidence doesn't uphold this. But you have OSHA taking a suggestion, an announcement by President Biden, using that to create these illegal mandates, usurping the powers of the states, usurping the rights of the people, depriving them of their ability to self-govern, and turning them into subjects, turning a despotic rule upon the people. This is the long train of abuses that we've been talking about. Our founding fathers fought against this. I've written papers about this. And yet here we are, still sitting back, mewling, while governments turn this into a despotic tyranny, and most American people do nothing. We sit back while the federal government trashes our rights, while the federal government usurps our authority, and we do nothing. And then I saw this report. Now, this is under the frequently asked questions of OSHA's own website. And the question is, are adverse reactions to the COVID-19 vaccine recordable on the OSHA record-keeping log? In other words, by law, companies are supposed to report adverse reactions to COVID. Now, what is OSHA's response to this? DOL and OSHA, as well as other federal agencies, are working diligently to encourage COVID-19 vaccinations. OSHA does not wish to have an appearance of discouraging workers from receiving COVID-19 vaccinations, also does not wish to disincentivize employers' vaccination efforts. As a result, OSHA will not enforce 29 CFR 1904's recording requirement to require any employers to record workers' side effects from COVID-19 vaccinations at least through May of 2022. We will reevaluate the agency's position at that time to determine the best course of action. Oh, so not only are they going to bully companies into mandating vaccinations, they don't want to know any adverse reactions. Why? Well, they don't want to discourage this. This is a political shell game. This is intimidation. This is the, you know, do what we tell you or we're going to break your legs. But when we break your legs, don't go to the cops because, well, something worse could happen. This is disgusting. This is saying not only are we going to endanger employees by getting them to take a vaccine which has serious side effects, proven, recorded, serious side effects. And we're going to hide that information so that we don't actually scare people into not getting the vaccine by actually telling them what's going on. What happened to informed consent? How can you have the federal law? These are emergency use authorization products. Federal law requires that the recipient be notified of both the benefits and potential risks of taking this. Well, how do you have those potential risks if the people that are by law required to record it don't bother? Notice, they simply said they are not going to enforce their own regulations because they don't want to stop people from getting the vaccine. They are lying to you. They are manipulating you to believe that there are no problems with the vaccines, and we'll just hide the fact that there are problems because we don't want people to stop taking the vaccines. This is not freedom. This is not liberty. This is despotism. This is the federal government mandating you take an experimental drug. You be a guinea pig, a test subject, and not even bothering to follow their own regulations about tracking adverse side effects. How are you supposed to improve the vaccine if you don't know what the bad side effects are? Tell me this is not one in a long train of abuses. That this isn't evidence that they are trying to reduce us under absolute despotism. You will take the vaccine. We will encourage you to take the vaccine. We will hide from you information that might discourage you from taking the vaccine. We will prevent you from, we will punish your employer if you don't get the vaccine. This is bullying on a national scale. So where are the people standing up? Where are the states? Now, some states have had attorneys general. They sent a demand letter. That's fine. That's a small step. Where are the states saying, I don't think so? We did not authorize this. We did not approve this. We did not grant you this authority. And if you attempt to intimidate our citizens, we will hold you legally accountable. Meaning, not just that we're going to sue you, we'll issue a warrant for your arrest. That's what I want to see. I want to see these criminals have criminal charges. Forget this lawsuit nonsense. I know a lawsuit's easier to win than a criminal case. These people are committing crimes. And we're acting like it's, well, you know, maybe we should have elected the other guy. No. It is time to stop acting like we are under a despot. It's time to start acting like we're free citizens. At the end of the Declaration of Independence, the signers said to each other, to this declaration, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That is more than just simply saying, I'm going to die for this. To pledge your life means to live for this. When are we going to pledge our lives to freedom and liberty and independence? Pledge our lives by doing something, by acting like free citizens. by looking government in the eye and saying, no, we did not authorize that. You are the criminal, sir or madam. You are. We will not comply with a void regulation. It is repugnant to the Constitution. It is therefore void. We will not comply. We will not be violent unless you commit violence against us. You come to arrest us, we're going to fight. You come to garnish our wages, we will fight. You come to shut us down, we will fight. We will match you in your tyranny with a fight for freedom and liberty. Because if we don't, then guess what? We have already submitted to the absolute despotism of the tyrants in Washington, D.C. We have given up our right, our duty to throw off those who are perverting the Constitution. As Abraham Lincoln said, the people are the rightful masters of both Congresses and courts, not to overturn the Constitution, but to overturn the people who pervert the Constitution. It's about time we start overturning the people who are perverting the Constitution. Don't accept, happy slappy, oh, okay, well, no. It is time we overturn the people who pervert the Constitution. It's time we stand up and realize we are not their subjects. We are their masters. Start acting like a free citizen. Live as a free citizen. Oh, but they're going to force us. Oh, no, they won't. Oh, they'll bully you. They'll threaten you. They'll intimidate you. They may even incarcerate you. But only you can submit to despotism. Only you can submit to the bully. And sadly, the American people have been submitting to the bully, at least the ones I hear about. Now, I pray there are millions of Americans out there that have not bowed the knee to the despots in Washington, and that we just don't know about each other. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I have a website. Set this up specifically for this. Go to constitutionscholars.com. That's scholars, plural. S-C-H-O-L-A-R-S. constitutionscholars.com. Register. It's absolutely free to register. But you can find other people who will not bend the knee to the despots. We are students of the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. We are teaching ourselves by reading and studying the Constitution so that we not only can teach the rising generation to be free, we can recognize when our rights are being violated and defend and assert them. Now, sure, you'll get access to a library of some documents, to some videos and classes I've put up there, but most importantly are the community groups. There's a group for each state, plus there's one for the federal government, and I'm creating more as interest peaks. But this is a place where we can find each other. We can stand together online. We can find our neighbors so that we can stand together in person so that we don't stand alone. That is the crux. How do we find people who are interested in protecting their rights, that are ready to overturn the people in government, to throw off the tyrants and despots currently residing and working out of Washington, D.C.? By the way, the ones currently working and residing in your state capitol, in your county courthouse, in your city hall. This is what we are trying to do. Thomas Jefferson said that the true corrective of the abuse of constitutional powers is education. That's what we're trying to do, to educate ourselves and our neighbors so that we can live as free people, not subjects under a despotic tyrant based out of Washington, D.C., or out of our state house or county courthouse. Now, before I head off to break, I want to remind you to check out HealthyCell.com. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes vitamins are hard to swallow. HealthyCell has a pill-free supplement. That's right, simple-to-use gel pack. These vitamins are designed to help you feel better, perform better, live longer, to work at a cellular level, to boost your immune system, to help you sleep better, focus. And we've been talking a bit about the vaccine mandates. We know the best thing, you know, vaccines don't prevent you getting COVID. You know what the best thing to prevent you getting COVID is? A healthy immune system. An immune super boost from Healthy Cell can help. It is designed to support your immune system against not just COVID, but everything else. And as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off by just going to healthycell.com/outloud. That's right. Your first order is 20% off. So head to healthycell.com and use the promo code OUTLOUD or go to healthycell.com/outloud for that 20% discount on your first order.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
It was a vision that gave birth to a unique multimedia platform that would combine classic talk radio, great writers, and memorable podcasts and videos. AmericaOutloud.com is a conservative leader in a field that is predominantly run by far-left progressive globalists. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we are talking about the long train of abuses. You know, people like to pick on one thing or something, and it's like, how do we get here? We've been working on this mess for over 150 years. But the train of abuses, I mean, they've been going on for decades, and we sit back and we whine and complain, or if we do nothing at all, we hire the same idiots to exercise our rights, and then we're surprised when things don't get better. So I found this article. This actually comes from California Catholic Daily, cal-catholic.com. And they're talking about a document being drafted by the U.S. Catholic bishops to deny communion to politicians who support abortion. Now understand, the official position of the Roman Catholic Church, I am not a member, by the way, but as I understand, the official position is abortion is murder, except to save the life or health of the mother. So they're basically saying, listen, if you are a politician and you are, it shouldn't be a politician, but I think what they're trying to do is say, listen, you don't get special privileges if you're a politician. If you support abortion, you should not receive communion. You should be denied communion. And just because you're a politician doesn't mean you should skate on that. Well, apparently, a representative, Jared Huffman, isn't really thrilled. He wrote, if they're going to politically weaponize religion by rebuking Democrats who support women's reproductive choice, then a rebuke of their tax-exempt status may be in order. That's right. You have a member of Congress stating on Twitter that a Roman Catholic diocese actually enforcing Roman Catholic rules and actually exercising their religion should be denied tax-exempt status because he doesn't think that abortion's a bad thing. Talk about establishing a religion and prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And again, this is an actual First Amendment issue because he is a member of Congress. Tell me, where is the ethics complaint against Representative Huffman? Where? I don't see it. He is using his position as a member of the House of Representatives to intimidate a church, to deny them their ability to exercise their religion without government intervention. By the way, churches get tax-exempt status not because they're a 501c3. Simply the act of being a church is considered sufficient to be a not-for-profit and therefore tax-exempt. This is the same nonsense that came up with the Johnson Amendment. Lyndon Johnson, when he was a senator, didn't like the fact that many of the churches were speaking out against him, so he added an amendment to a piece of legislation, I forget which one, that basically threatened the tax-exempt status of any charitable organization that participated, you know, that spoke evil against, you know, or either endorsed or degraded politicians. Of course, you know what? That's never actually been challenged in court. In fact, there's actually groups of people who try very hard to get sued on that because they want the courts to weigh in. But what you have is a member of the House of Representatives threatening the tax-exempt status of a church for actually implementing their law. Now, they're not saying that that politicians should be denied the right to support abortion. That's not what the church said. The church said, listen, if you are supporting abortion, you are not following Catholic doctrine. Therefore, you should be denied communion. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems pretty simple and straightforward. Of course, I guess, unless you're pro-abortion and want to be the part of church. You think you have a right to communion? Do you think you have a right to get the church to support whatever position you hold? That's not freedom of religion. That's not the free exercise of religion. This is coerced exercise of religion. And speaking of coercion, apparently the Department of Justice has formally requested that the Supreme Court issue a temporary injunction against the implementation of the Texas law, SB 8, known as the Texas pro-life or abortion law, depending on which side you are. The filing says that SB 8 is plainly unconstitutional under this court's precedents. Well, I've dealt with this before, but let me deal with it again. Constitutionality is not based on the Supreme Court's precedent. It's constitutional or unconstitutional based on the language of the Constitution. Now, I would not expect a lawyer of the diminished capacity of Mr. Garland to understand this, but it does. Something isn't constitutional or unconstitutional because the court says so. The court is subject to the Constitution, not its master. The court does not determine what is and is not constitutional. It is actually bad behavior and therefore grounds for impeachment for a justice of the court to put their opinion above the language of the Constitution, which is why I believe pretty much all the Supreme Court justices should be impeached. They should have been impeached long ago. I'm not saying the occasional difference, but I'm saying a repeated abuse of the Constitution, that's bad behavior. But what do you have? You have the Department of Justice once again trying to intimidate Texas because they don't like the Texas law. This Texas law is plainly constitutional because it is protecting the life of the unborn child as required by the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment states that no state shall deny anyone the life, liberty, or property without due process of law. So once life is detected, i.e. a heartbeat, The state is bound by the Constitution to make sure they are not deprived of life without due process. That's all this does. Listen, if you want to deprive someone of life, you have to have a good cause. There has to be a medical emergency, which is language in the law. I've reviewed it on previous episodes. But they even crafted the law to be within the Supreme Court precedent, because Roe v. Wade stated that criminal charges could not be put in place for people performing abortions. Well, SB 8 doesn't create criminal charges. It's a civil penalty. So they specifically tailored it to be within the bounds of Roe v. Wade. But you see, the Department of Justice doesn't like this. So they're going to make up stuff. They're going to, make up the interpretation that the Constitution doesn't mean exactly what it says. It means what they say the court meant when they said it, which is the twisted basic piece of case law we've been dealing with for decades. But this is the Department of Justice. Now, understand, the Supreme Court has already decided not to issue an injunction. Why? I covered this in a previous episode, but the basic reason is, listen, we don't know if it'll fly on the merits or not, but since state officials are legally prohibited from suing under SB 8, how can a state official be the defendant, the respondent, I should say, in a lawsuit? Therefore, there's no standing. You're suing the wrong person. That's what they said. I remember reading the opinion and discussing it here on this radio program. But you see, that's not good enough for Merrick Garland. He wants abortion, so he's going to use the Department of Justice not only to intimidate parents, now he's trying to persuade the Supreme Court to intimidate the state of Texas. You know what? I would pray that the people of Texas have elected officials that will stand up to this tyranny, to this despotism. Texas is not a vassal of the federal government. Texas helped create they helped modify the Constitution. Texas oversees the federal government, not the other way around. And it is plainly obvious that what Texas is doing is defending the life of the child. That's all it takes. Everything else is window dressing. Everything else is legalese. Is the state of Texas protecting the life of the unborn child? The Supreme Court doesn't get to say, well, that only counts after they're viable. That's what Roe v. Wade said. They don't have that legal authority. They don't make law. They don't establish constitutional rights. They don't. It is actually an act of despotism for them to claim the power to do that. That is just more evidence of the slide towards despotism. The design to reduce us under the absolute despotism of the words of people in Washington, D.C. Roe v. Wade is just one more piece of evidence. And this repeated abuse of the position of Attorney General to get what they politically want in interference with the judicial process is just another piece of evidence that they are trying to reduce us to the absolute despotism of them getting exactly what they want. You want more evidence of reduction to despotism? A federal court has opined. Now, I'm reading this actually out of the Federalist. They say they ruled. Courts don't rule. They opine. They opine that a Colorado web designer must design and publish websites that violate her religious conscience. Now, here's the interesting part. Here's the part I want you to think about for a minute. See, Alexander Hamilton noted in Federalist Paper number 78, he said, Whoever attentively considers the different departments of power must perceive that in a government in which they are separated from each other, the judiciary, from the nature of its functions, will always be the least dangerous to the political rights of the Constitution, because it will be the least in a capacity to annoy or injure them. So recognize, we have a federal court which, according to the Constitution and our power structure, is the least capable of annoying or injuring rights. He goes on to explain, the executive not only dispenses the honors, but holds the sword of the community. The legislature not only commands the purse, but prescribes the rules by which the duties and rights of every citizen are to be regulated. The judiciary, on the contrary, has no influence over either the sword or the purse, no direction of either the strength or of the wealth of the society, and can take no active resolution whatever. It may truly be said to have neither force nor will, but merely judgment, and must ultimately depend on the aid of the executive arm, even for the efficacy of its judgments. All right, so the court opined this. So what? That's their opinion. They have no legal ability to enforce that opinion. They are dependent on the executive branch to do so. But here's what's even worse. Because you have a part of the federal government saying, you are compelled to do something against your will, because we think you should. See, in a 2-to-1 opinion, I keep calling it rulings, it is not. In a 2-to-1 opinion, the 10th Circuit said, nope, this person, this web designer, must violate her religious conscience. She must violate her conscience. We are going to force her to work for other people. Tell me that is an evidence of a reduction to absolute despotism. Tell me that this web designer is not being reduced to the despotism of being commanded by a court to do something against her will. That is not freedom. That is not liberty. And I want to know why those two judges who are willing to infringe on her rights are not impeached. This is not a small little thing. Oh, well, you know, we had a disagreement here. No. This is a blatant violation of the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Take the religion part out of it, right? Because the First Amendment applies to Congress, and this was not done under an act of Congress. But the Fifth Amendment says she cannot be deprived of her liberty or her property without due process of law. She is being deprived of her liberty to work where she wants, when she wants, on what products she wants. The property of controlling the outcome of the product of her labors. She is being told she does not have a conscience, she doesn't have a right. That somebody, because they are part of some favored group, gets to tell you what to do. And you cannot deny. You cannot say, I'm sorry, I won't. Well, you know what? I want those two judges impeached. In fact, I'd love to see those two judges charged with a crime. Title 18, United States Code, Section 242. They are denying her under an opinion of her right to liberty and property. All because some LGBT group wants to force her to do something. This is what happens with despots. This court is a despot, and this LGBT group, whatever ones that suit her, they are despots as well. They're saying, you are not allowed to disagree with me and have it mean anything. This is a despotic nation and is being fueled and reinforced by the government in Washington, D.C. Tell me this isn't evidence of being reduced to absolute despotism. And if you want to find a despotic empire, look no farther than the Empire State. In this case, New York City. Because now in New York City, if you work for the city, you must get vaccinated, period. If you work for the city, according to Mayor de Blasio, you do not own your body. You have no control over what goes into your body if you work for the system. You must be a test subject. You must be the subject of an experiment to work for the city of New York, and there is no option for testing. If you do not submit to the will of this despotic piece of garbage, you'll lose your job. They'll be placed on unpaid leave. This is despotism. And I hear a lot of people complaining. You know what I don't see a lot of people doing? Standing up and saying, no, you don't have the legal authority, Mr. de Blasio. The office of mayor is not the office of king or potentate. You are not above the Constitution of the state of New York. You are not above the Constitution of the United States. You are not above the laws of this land. You are subject to them. We did not authorize this. We created the office of mayor. We did not authorize this. You can go pound sand. And in fact, where is where's the state's attorney? Where's the state's attorney investigating? Where's the crimes? Where's the state police investigating and charging Mr. de Blasio with violating New York state law? Article 1, Section 1 of the New York State Constitution says, no member of the state shall be disenfranchised or deprived of any of the rights or privileges secured to any citizen thereof unless by the law of the land or the judgment of his or her peers. I believe Section 10 goes on to say, no person shall be denied the equal protection of the laws of the state or any subdivision thereof. No person shall be denied, shall because of race, color, creed, or religion, be subject to any discrimination in his or her civil rights by any other person or by any firm, corporation, or institution, or by the state or any agency or subdivision of the state. The city of New York is a subdivision of the state of New York. And Section 6 says, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Liberty is your ability to live without government interference, and you have a property in your body, including in controlling what goes into your body. So let me ask again, where is the state's attorney? Where's the state's attorney general? Where's the state police arresting Mayor de Blasio for violating the supreme law of the state? Tell me where. Because we cower under despots. We sit and cower. We have voluntarily given up our right to overturn governments that abuse our rights. We voluntarily have given up our duty to throw off governments that are abusing us and usurping our powers. This is back to the American people. We need to live free. We need to pledge our lives to liberty, to living as free people, to standing up against the despots and tyrants, to stop waiting for government to protect us from government, because they won't. They have abdicated that responsibility decades ago. It is our responsibility to protect ourselves. To understand, it may cost us pain. It may cost us financially. It may even cost us our lives, either through death or through incarceration. But we must ask ourselves, do we wish to be a free people or do we wish to suffer under despots? The decision doesn't belong in Washington. It is not Washington's D.C. decision. It's not our state house's decision. It is our decision. See, the one thing people really need to get a hold of is that government can bully, government can intimidate, government can persuade, government can even incarcerate. But government cannot make you do anything. Perfect example and a great story to end this on. I don't know how many of you are familiar with In-N-Out Burger. I remember In-N-Out Burger. I had a great friend who grew up in California, and we'd have to visit there. We visited there several times for work, and I'd like to fly in with him, and our first stop was always an In-N-Out Burger. By the way, for those of you who wonder, I like mine double-double animal style. But there's an In-N-Out Burger in San Francisco that shut down. Why? Because they refused to infringe on the rights of their customers and ask them about their medical health. That's right. Back on October 14th, In-N-Out in San Francisco became the first restaurant to be shut down by the city's health department for refusing to ask customers to present evidence showing they are vaccinated. They had a choice. The state of California bullied, they threatened, they bullied, they intimidated, and the owners of this In-N-Out Burger stood strong. Now, apparently this store has since reopened, but not for indoor dining. I don't know if they capitulated or if it was simply what was going on. But my question is, how many of you would stand with In-N-Out Burger in their stand against the tyranny of California? Did they stand alone? See, that's the thing. As Benjamin Franklin said, we must all hang together, or surely we'll all hang separately. Now, based on the reporting, and this, by the way, has come from the Epoch Times, an In-N-Out representative was railing against the illegal actions of the state and the city of San Francisco, the state of California, and the city of San Francisco. As I said, they were shut down. Again, they've since reopened for takeout only, but let me ask you, will you go to In-N-Out Burger and support the work that they're doing? Better yet, would you be willing to walk indoors, to dine indoors, in violation of the bullies in Sacramento and San Francisco? See, In-N-Out Burger, the government didn't force them. The government ordered them to shut down. They eventually complied. But let me ask you, did they comply because they felt alone? Did they comply because their customers did not show up and say, no, we're with you. Stay open. We recognize the tyranny that California is promoting. We will stand with you. We will help protect you. I'm reminded of a video that went out around, I think it was earlier this year. I believe it was a restaurant in Buffalo, New York, where the health department came in to do an illegal inspection. They brought the sheriff's deputies with them. And the owner refused. He said he asked for a warrant. They didn't have a warrant. He told them they were not welcome. They were trespassing. They refused to leave. One sheriff's deputy said, listen, guy, we're just trying to do our job. He said, no, if you were doing your job, you would arrest the trespasser. Now, eventually, one of the officers, one of the deputies, looked at them and says, listen, we just have to leave. Why? Because when the owner stood up, the rest of the patrons stood with him. So when In-N-Out Burger says, listen, we posted the rules, we said that we provided opportunities, we just weren't going to play government police force. We were not going to actually require proof of vaccination. We told them what the rules are and leave the customers to make their own choices. Did they stand alone? Were people there standing with them, supporting them, saying, no, this is too far, California. We did not authorize this. Or did not stand alone? When they came to shut them down, were there people standing there saying, no, this is wrong. It's intrusive. It's unconstitutional. It's governmental overreach. It is tyranny. It is despotism. We will not comply. Peaceful noncompliance with a void order. Or did they leave In-N-Out alone? I don't know. I don't have those details. But I've come to the conclusion that if we are to be free, we must live free. And that means supporting businesses that stand for freedom, that respect your rights. Now, I don't live in California. Trust me, California's got some beautiful places. I've been there many, many times. Absolutely beautiful, but it's run by despotic tyrants. But if I were in California and this In-N-Out Burger was there, I would show up. And you know what I'd do? I'd go inside, I'd order myself a double-double animal style, side of fries, and I'd go and sit down and enjoy my meal. And if the government came to get rid of me, I'd hand them the little piece of paper I have with me. It's called Knowing Your Rights. You can find it on the website, constitutionstudy.com. That proves that by attempting to do that, they are committing a federal crime. It documents the constitutional rights they would be violating. And it documents the federal law they'd be violating. And I would politely inform them that if they attempt to detain me, my first call would be to a lawyer. My second call would be to the FBI to have a plate sworn out of a violation of federal law by the individual, not by the city of San Francisco, not by the San Francisco, the officer that's attempting to deprive me of my rights. Is that dangerous? Yes, it is. Is there a chance I'd spend time in jail? Absolutely. But are you willing to live free? Are you willing to pledge to your family and to your neighbors to live free? That's the change of mindset that we need. We need to stop asking government to protect our rights and realize we have the right to live free. The decision is ultimately ours. Will we stand up to the bullies that are supposedly our servants, or will we cower under them as their subjects? Now, if you want to find out more, please head to the website, constitutionstudy.com. Everything I do, all of the articles I write, all the papers I do is all available there. That's constitutionstudy.com. I'm going to be in Tampa on the 9th and 10th of November. So if you're in that area, please check out the website. You'll check it out. You'll see the Knowing Your Rights tour, or just go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. If you're anywhere between Nashville, Tennessee, and anywhere in Florida, well, then fill out the form and have me come speak to your group. I don't charge anything. All I ask is if you can help me find a place to lodge for the night and allow me to sell some of my books, that's all I ask. I would love to come speak to your group about knowing what our rights are and living as a free citizen and not a subject of masters in our state houses, in our county courthouses, and certainly not out of Washington, D.C. Now, before I go, I want to remind you that all my shows typically go to podcast a day or two after the broadcast is on the radio. You can find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, and iHeart Podcast, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. And if you do me a favor, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe and rate the show. I would appreciate that greatly. And I'll see you here next time on the Constitution Study.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day.